hope of the empty tomb. 2,000 years ago, saints, 2,000 years ago, on a faithful Thursday evening during Passover week, things didn't look too good for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nor for his followers. He had been taken into prison, and then on Friday he endured a laughable mockery of trials, three different ones, I believe it was. And they sentenced him to death, even death on a cross. He was innocent, yet proven guilty. Many of us can relate, especially those of us of darker hue. He was innocent, yet proven guilty. Things weren't going so well as they beat our Lord and Savior with this device called a cat of nine tails, which was a leather type of device with some bone and metal fragments. And then they beat him, and they beat him, and tore skin came out of his body. If you ever seen that movie, several movies that depict the beatings of Christ, those movies were rough, but his beatings were much worse than anything that we would ever have imagined. But not only that, saints, not only was he beaten for our sins, your sins and my sins, he hung on that cross for your sins and my sins. So the worst part of that whole ordeal wasn't the physical beatings, but my sin and your sin on our Savior. It was read earlier by Brother Chris. His sins caused him to cry out to God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It's because of our sins. So it didn't look too good on that Thursday evening, on that Friday evening. But oh, here's the shout. We know 3 days later he rose again with all power in his hands. More about that in just a moment. But it didn't look good that Friday evening. It didn't look good that Saturday. Fast forward 2,000 years. Today, our sovereign God, who's on the throne, just as he was on the throne when he allowed Job to go through his stuff in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. I hope I have a couple of Bible readers in the house. He's still on the throne, but God has allowed this little virus called the coronavirus, COVID-19, to come in. It has literally... This one little virus has literally brought the whole world to a halt. So from some perspectives, things are not looking too good right now on planet Earth. The latest report I got yesterday evening was over 100,000 people dead as a result of this virus. Of course, many more suffering from it. And then some of us, could be me, could be you, have it and don't even know it yet. Definitely in the African-American population, for various reasons, we are being hit even heavier than most people. So lives are being lost. Jobs are being lost. People on the front line, be it nurses or doctors, endangering their own lives. I had a cousin who has to get detoxed every day after he comes home from his job before he can go in to his wife and his kids. He has to shower and take everything off because of the work he does. And being around people with perhaps being infected. Parks are closing. Malls are closing. Even some churches are closing. And many are doing like us, having what we call virtual church. So it's looking kind of bleak. Much of the sports and entertainment industry has shut down. My wife probably is shouting because that's freed up quite a bit of my time. My sports shut down. Stock market is going awry. People who I have close friends who are about to retire, and this is impacting their financial future. So it's a real thing. It's not something that we just making up in our mind. Things are looking kind of bleak from man's perspective. It's not looking too good. We have a president who makes uninformed, asinine, idiotic statements on a routine basis. It's not looking too good. Several medical experts back in January, I think, kind of tried to warn the president and other people, but hey, this thing is coming. We need to do this. And people, most people, not just our president, but others kind of blew it off. You know how a man does. You know how we do sometimes. But I want to ask you to come a little closer, because I'm talking about the hope of the empty tomb. Let's look at this worldwide pandemic from a biblical perspective. Let's look at it from the tomb, from the lens of the empty tomb. I submit to say, if somebody who is our God, who is our Lord and Savior, if he can take care of the worst virus ever was the sin virus, if he can take care of that some 2,000 years ago, he can handle the coronavirus. I'm putting my stock with Jesus. I'm putting my stock with God. He took care of my sin virus and your sin virus, so surely he can handle this coronavirus. So leave here this morning, saints, with an uplifted attitude, because we're going to be looking at it from God's perspective. We're going to be looking at it from the lens of the empty tomb. We're going to be looking at it from our risen Savior's perspective, who conquers all, who one day every knee is going to have to bow, every tongue is going to have to confess, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. Watch this. Buddha, who is, of course, not a Christian, he's going to have to say from the flames of hell, he's going to have to say Jesus Christ is Lord. Muhammad is going to say Jesus Christ is Lord, like the rich man that Jesus talks about, from the flames of hell. So I submit, you ought to say today, say it with me, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord of all. He's Lord over the coronavirus. He's Lord over the sin virus. He's Lord of all. Matter of fact, in your life, he's either Lord of all, watch this, or he's not Lord at all. Christ didn't just come in and be halfway, be your Savior, and you make him Lord every now and then. No. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all. Let's get our theology right. He's Lord of all. Christ. And so what I'm going to do this morning, saints, I typically go through a text in verse by verse, but I'm going to have kind of a topical message. So we read the verses earlier. I'm just going to pull some different verses talking about the benefits of the empty tomb, or the benefits of serving a risen Savior. Some of the benefits. I want to just once again reaffirm and confirm, if you have any doubts in your mind, and some people do have doubts, that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Read 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 6 sometime when you get a chance. It talks about how Christ first appeared to his disciples and then some 500 other witnesses. They got all kind of idiotic statements out there about, you know, they got all kind of theories of what happened to Jesus on the cross. He died on the cross. Somebody say he died. He died on the cross. It wasn't no swoon theory. He passed out and he almost died. No, he died. Another crazy, it really takes more faith to believe these crazy scenarios than to believe the truth. Some people believe, Deacon Hardaway, some people believe what they call the hallucination theory. That they thought they saw Jesus. They thought they saw him. No. I don't think 500 different people are going to be hallucinating the same thing. Plus, I don't think the disciples would have known that Jesus died and was killed and was buried and went on off somewhere. But yet, here they come a few weeks later, taking their lives in their own hands by preaching the gospel about a risen Savior. No, the tomb is still empty. The tomb is still empty. And because the tomb is empty, we got hope. Because the tomb is empty, I can shout. Because the tomb is empty, I don't have to worry about when I leave here what's going to happen. Because the tomb is empty, I know that Christ is still in control of all things. Paul said one time he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and then later on Paul said, one time I stood all by myself, none still with me. He was in prison. Everybody had forsaken me, none still with me. He said, oh, wait a minute. But the Lord stood with me. Have you ever been there, saints? You feel all alone, like, everybody says, where is everybody? I'm standing all by myself. If you're standing for the truth, if you're standing for what is right, but then all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm not standing by myself. The Lord is with me. He has told me he was never leave me nor forsake me. Not only is he with us, but he's inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. A little bit about that in just a moment. Let me hasten on. I'm going to give you these reasons that why we can know without a shadow of a doubt that the tomb is indeed empty. He has ascended back into heaven. Christ is. He's at the right hand of God the Father. If you don't believe me, read Acts chapter 6 or 7, I believe it is, maybe 8, when Stephen was being stoned to death, and the Bible says Christ stood up at the right hand of God the Father and said, look at my boy, look at him standing up for the Christian faith. Stephen was the first Christian martyr, by the way, died because he believed in Christ. See, living for Christ can be dangerous sometimes. That's not necessarily a popular message. Let me say it again. Living for Christ can be dangerous sometimes. You can get ostracized. You can get talked about. You can get joked about. And you can get killed in certain parts of the world. That's why the Lord said, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. So Stephen gave up the ghost. He died. But he died just like Jesus. Stephen said, don't count it to their account. Father, that sounds like Jesus to me. Father, forgive them. That's what Jesus said. Saints, I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know how you're going to die. I don't know how we're leaving here. But let's live like Christ and let's die like Christ. Let me say that again to this side. Let's live like Christ and let's die like Christ. That's what Stephen did. So a few benefits. If you're taking notes, you want to jot these down. Talking about benefits of the fact that we serve a risen Savior. Benefits of serving a risen Savior. Here it is. It proves without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. The fact that of all the religions, there are other religions that try to kind of somewhat mimic us, but we're the only religion to stand on the fact that our leader, our Lord and Savior died. He died, but he came back to life. And we got so many proofs of that. So one of the benefits of the empty tomb is that God is real. It shows that God is real. I'm going to give these to you. Write them down. Read them later. God is real. You need to write this down now. Unless you got a photographic memory, you need to write this down. God is real. That's one of the benefits of the empty tomb. That's one of the benefits of serving a risen Savior. Shows us that God is real. Acts 2, 23 and 24. I'll just read this for you. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit had come like a mighty rushing wind. Jesus told him, hey, y'all just lay low, fellas. I know y'all want to talk about me. I want to go tell people about me, but don't go out there by yourself. Hold on, let me digress. That's not in my notes or anything. That's a good word from our Lord and Savior. Oftentimes as Christians, we have some good plans. We have some good, well-meaning things we want to do. But oftentimes we rush out there without really letting the Lord sign off on it, without really letting the Lord lead us, without really letting the Lord give us wisdom. The Holy Spirit, if he's with us, whatever we're doing, it's going to be successful. It's going to bring God glory. But when we do things in our own strength, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you, just like me. When we do things in our own strength, we often fall. But when we do it in the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I do it with his strength, his power, it's going to be all right. So Jesus told these guys in Acts 1, he said, hey, look, go be my witnesses. Y'all going to receive power. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Be my witnesses in East Chattanooga. Be my witnesses in Chattanooga. Be my witnesses in the state of Tennessee. Be my witnesses in the United States of America. Be my witnesses throughout the whole world. Even a church the size of ours, our love fellowship. Well, we're not a large church numerically, but most churches are around this size, though, numerically. But we can make a difference, not just in Chattanooga, but all around the world. Why? Because we serve a big God. And I thank God that we are able to help support 6 different missionaries. And we thank God for that. We thank God that some of our saints have been able to go on mission trips. But we need to be spreading this word, being his witnesses, not just in our home. It starts there. But not just in our neighborhood. It extends there. Not just in our city. It extends there. Not just in our state. It extends there. Not just in our nation. It extends there. But in all of the world. We serve a big God, so we should be able to have a big impact. Skirt, rewind, let me say that one more time. We serve a big God, so we should be able to have a big impact. So our God is real. Acts 2, 23 and 24. Listen to Peter. Peter, boy, he'll cut off your ear and he'll preach to y'all at the same time. Peter said, he said, him being Jesus Christ, being delivered. He's preaching to mainly religious people. Now, mainly, this is during the Pentecost day. They have people from all around, all these different languages. Jesus said, him being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God, talking about Christ, you have taken by lawless hands. You religious leaders, you have crucified him and put to death. Peter said, y'all killed him. But watch this, whom God raised up. Somebody said, God raised him up. God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It was impossible. It was impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to be held by death. I got to say that again. It was impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to be held by death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Up from the grave he arose. Mighty Russian Savior. Christ's death couldn't hold him. I think it was R.G. Lee, the guy that preceded Adrian Rogers over at Bellevue Baptist Church, allegedly had this little thing he would say about, you know, death, how death was undefeated. you know, guys like Lazarus, they didn't really defeat death. I mean, Christ rose him from the dead. But guess what? Lazarus had to die again. I don't really know if this is that good of a deal. You dead and you're over there in glory, but you got to come back to earth and then die again. But R.G. Lee said that our death was having this conversation one time, you know, and he was talking to this other fellow, and he said, "Okay, Death, you beat everybody." He ran off all kind of names, you know, Alexander the Great and Napoleon, and went on down. "Death, you conquered all of them." "Yeah, I got them all. Death, I got them all. None of them have gotten away from me." And then on Friday evening, when he got Jesus, right? He and this guy was having this conversation. "Death, you got Jesus, right?" "Yeah, I got him." Check back with him on Saturday. Said, "Death, you still got Jesus?" "Oh, yeah, I still got him. I always hold him. Nobody's gotten away from me." Y'all know where I'm going. Check back with him on Sunday morning. "Hey, Death, you still got Jesus?" A little pause. No, he got away. Saints, that's a little joke, but he did get away. Death couldn't hold him, saints. That's what Peter said right here in Acts 2. Death couldn't hold him. So the mere fact that Jesus died and rose again proves that God is real. He has COVID-19 under control. In Genesis 3:15, God basically told Adam and Eve that, "I'm going to take care of this deal, this sin deal that you all have done. Y'all messed up, but I'm going to send my son Jesus Christ, and he's on fix up what you all have messed up. Matter of fact, he's going to crush the head of the enemy under your feet." It's in Genesis 3. God himself preached the first gospel message. God said, "I'm going to send my son. He's going to straighten this mess out." And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God the Father sent God the Son to straighten out our sin issues, to straighten out our sin mess? He paid the price. Of course, as Christians, we still struggle with sin. We still fight. Yes, we still have a fight going on, but victory is on our side. I said victory is on our side. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. My old country preachers always say that. Now I can literally say that because there's not anybody in here. I can literally say amen, lights. So God is all powerful. Benefits of the empty tomb. But I hate saying benefits of the empty tomb. God is real. God is all powerful. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. That's a word we throw around a lot, but that means God is in charge of all things. Nothing happens unless it first goes across his desk. Nothing happens unless he checks off on it, rubber stamps it. He either calls it or allows it. It's a biblical principle, saints. That's not some systematic theological thing people have come up with. That's the Bible. Anybody, when you open up the Bible and say on page one, "In the beginning, God," I think he's in control of everything. And when you close the book up, God said, "That's it. That's all I got to write right now. Anybody mess with this? Anybody add to it or take it away? I'm going to mess them up." I think that means he's in control of all things. In the beginning, God. Another hope of the empty tomb. Here it is. Write this down as I hasten on. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins. Let me just say it this way then. Yeah. My sins are forgiven. The hope of the empty tomb. The hope that Christ went to the cross and died. The amen to that is God was pleased with what Christ did. So because of that, we get our sins, those who come to Christ, our sins are forgiven. Let me give you some Bible on that. I'm not just making this up. This is right out of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're just talking about benefits of the risen Savior, the hope of the empty tomb. You can get through two or three titles this morning. The hope of the empty tomb, the benefits of serving the risen Savior. God is real. God is real. God is real. He's sovereign. Secondly, your sins are forgiven. I must confess, I can't really get my mind around this. I know it's true. And it's like, I'm talking to the family. I'm talking to saved folks now. Come closer. This is like too good to be true. But it is true. All of my sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Now, I used to just love to jump back and, when I was in the world before I came to Christ, yeah, I did some crazy stuff, God forgave me. But I'm ashamed to say I've done some messed up stuff since I've been saved. And God has forgiven me of my sins. Your sins, glory! Your sins are forgiven. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I heard John MacArthur preach this one time at a Tony Evans conference years ago, 2 Corinthians 5:12-21. I'll never forget that message. I was literally almost in tears the whole message. You know, if you ever hear him teach, he's not real theatrical. He's just preaching the Bible, just kind of lecturing, really. And I was just in tears. Because look, for God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for me and you, for us, that we might become, and here's our part, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I gotta say that again. Somebody missed that. God made Christ, who knew no sin. He never sinned. He's the perfect, sin-free, sinless Lamb of God. Made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin, not to be a sinner, but to be sin for me, that you and I might become the righteousness of God in him. I shouldn't have to go any further. I can go on through the benediction. I can go on, let you go on, get your little Easter dinner ready, get it out of the microwave, get it in the main oven or wherever you got it, get it out of the refrigerator. I mean, that's enough right there. That's enough. I can run all week off that. My sins are forgiven. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me make a very profound statement. If you're not impacted by that statement, you may not, I don't know definitively, but you may not belong to God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for me, for you. I don't need any other reasons to have hope this morning. I don't need any other reasons to know that this little coronavirus is not the worst thing ever happened. No, it's not. It's a bad thing. But go back to the bubonic plague. Go back to the Spanish flu in early 1900s. Millions of people lost their lives. If anything, out of this little virus, for me and for many of you, that definitely us Christians, it should get us more focused on what's really important. And for the unbeliever, it ought to let you know that, hey, you don't want to mess around with this awesome God. You want to be a friend of his. You want to be on his team. You want to be on his side. So I see a lot of good coming out of this virus. Now, in and of itself, it's not good, but I see a lot of good. Remember, a few weeks ago, I preached, but we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. So once again, if you're born again, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. Let me say it one more time. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. One for the Father, one for the Son. Let me say it one more time for the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven you. I wish I could just shout that from the mountaintops. I need to be like, we got a dog, Gracie. We love our little dog, Gracie. She's been with us for about 12 years. You know, something about a dog. I don't know if they learn this in school or not, Brother Rodney, but every time you put a dog in a car, they immediately put their head out the window. I don't know if they learn it in school or what. But I feel like when we go back home, maybe I feel like just put my head out the window and telling everybody, your sins can be forgiven you. Just give your life to Christ. No better deal than that. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not of works, so lest any man should boast. Let me hasten on. The Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world, he came and he took our sins. He counseled our sin that it is finished. Now for the Christian friend, here it is. This doesn't open up sloppy living. If anything, it should make you want to live for God all the more. Lord, help me to live up to what you have declared me to be. You have justified me. You have declared me righteous. Let me approach that righteousness that you have called me to be. I know I sin. I know I fall short, but I don't want to just fake it till I can make it. Now, let me live holy. Let me be an example to others. Let me tell others, follow me as I follow Christ. Another thing as I hasten on. Talking about the hope of the empty tomb, the benefits of serving a risen Savior. Jesus is at work in your body. This same Christ who the grave couldn't hold, and this same Christ, he's at work in your body. He's at work in my body. 2 Corinthians 5:17, our AA person, she loves this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. One translation says, behold, all things have become new. So if you're in Christ, it's a new you. I used to be a member of a church called New United. It's a new you. It's not the old you. Y'all have a wonder, when you go, maybe some friends, you know, if you came to Christ early in your life and kind of lived a pretty much a good little life, that's great. But maybe if you were kind of out there in the world, you know, doing your own little thing, maybe in college, after college, whatever, and you run across some cats every now and then, hey, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in 57 and a half years. And they want to always take you way back to what you used to do. Like, man, you remember when we used to go so-and-so? I said, yeah, brother, but I'm going a different way this time. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Now, if you don't know this Jesus, I can introduce you to the same Jesus can make you walk the way I'm trying to walk right now. So Jesus is at work in our body, the empty tomb. Jesus, he's not in the tomb. He's at work in your body, in my body. I mean, he's given us a new chance. Now, listen well. This is what Jesus says. He empowers us. He leads us. He guides us. Jesus says this. He says, if you belong to me, you hear my voice. If you belong to me, you hear my voice. You obey my voice and you follow me. Let me say it again. Jesus said, if you belong to me, Jesus, you hear my voice. And you obey my voice and you follow me. So let me say this. This is a heat check for somebody. If you're not following him, if you're not obeying him, you may not belong to him. Jesus, if you know me, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. No, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. But Jesus, they trying to follow me. They trying to obey me. So are you obeying? Are you following? Are you emulating and imitating? Let me say that again. Are you emulating and imitating the Lord Jesus Christ? Matter of fact, Christian, that's what it stands for. Christ-like. Hear me well, friend. If you're not trying to emulate and imitate Jesus Christ, just drop Christian from your name. And please don't tell people you go to Love Fellowship Baptist Church. Just drop it off. Take that shirt off. Take that bumper sticker off. I'm kind of teasing. But not really. We got to follow him. We got to follow him. And look, it's doable too. Well, how you say that, Pastor? How you say that, preacher? Well, that was number three. You know, first thing is hope of the empty tomb, because it shows that God is real. You know, God is sovereign. All that's kind of the same thing. Second thing, of course, we said, of course, our sins are forgiven us. Our sins are forgiven. Third thing is Christ is working in us. And so kind of a sub point under that is, Christ continued. We doing a Bible study. We discontinued it, but we're going to recontinue it after COVID. We're going to start it back up. It's called Jesus Continued, meaning the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So you and I can walk like Christ. Why? Not because we're so this or that. No, because Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is within the world. The Holy Spirit is inside of every born again believer. None can say 1 Corinthians 12:3. None can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You can't be talking about, well, I'm saved, but I'm waiting later on to get the Holy Spirit. No. The moment you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. It's a simultaneous happening. Now we're called to be filled, to be controlled by him ongoing, but we indwelt. That's a one-time happening. Somebody said one-time happening. That's a one-time happening. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And because God the Father, because God the Holy Spirit is inside of me, I can live holy. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. You might want to write that down. The Holy Spirit is in you, is in me, is in us. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. So don't be done. Well, old devil made me do it. Well, now the devil can't make you or me do nothing. Now he can entice us. He can tempt us. He can set it up. He can do all of that. But no, he can't make us do nothing. Because greater is he that is within me, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who's not in the grave, greater than he that is in the world. Y'all know, I got Bible readers. The devil has to go to God to get permission to mess with a child of God. And God knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. He knows when to turn up the heat and turn the heat down. Fourth thing, I'm almost through. Another reason for there's hope in the empty tomb. Not only God is real, God is sovereign. Not only are our sins are forgiven. Not only Christ is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us. But also your body will be resurrected. Your body, my body. We get ready to turn these bodies in one day. We're going to get resurrected bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Your body, my body will be resurrected. Let me say this real quickly. Saints and folks, unsaved, saved and unsaved going to get, our bodies going to last forever. But you want to be headed to heaven. You don't want to be in hell in the lake of fire in that body that's going to last forever. You want to be headed to heaven. I said, you want to be headed to heaven. But 1 Corinthians 15:52, this is what it says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, how? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Man, I got out of our van yesterday, and man, my back about went out on me. I'm like, man, what's going on? I have back problems. I have a knee problem. But one day I'm going to trade in this old body. This old body is wearing down. I talked to my mother about every other day. She's 84 now and she loves the Lord. She walks with Jesus. And most days she's thankful, you know, but she said, yeah, my arms kind of hurting me. My knees kind of hurting me. Hey, these bodies, they wear down, man. Arthur going to catch up with all of us. Arthur, who is Arthur? Arthritis, keep on living. Arthur catch up with all of us. We're going to get a new body. New and improved model. My family, I kind of learned this from my parents. When Tanya and I get a car, we're going to ride it. I think about everybody here got the same philosophy. We're going to ride it till the tires come off. So we got an 05, we got an 04, and so we're like, man, we're going to go, you know, go no, get another new car one of these days. And good friend of mine by the name of Chris, we was chatting a little bit lately, looked at the new car, be nice. But new car got a new car note. I'm going to get a new body, but no note. Oh, y'all not hearing me. I'm going to get a new body, but no note. Why? Why no note? Well, Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus has already paid the down payment, the monthly installments. I'm going to get a new body with no note. Somebody, we work trying to get a car on a plane like that or something. But, you know, we're going to get new bodies, saints. We're going to get new bodies. Bodies are going to last forever. Jesus gave us a little sneak preview. We can't definitively say maybe our body's going to be exactly like his, but I think kind of similar. You remember after he was resurrected? You remember them boys? They were hiding out, the disciples. They were able in there, had the doors locked. Next thing I said, how did Jesus get in here? We trying to go by the state law and stuff. So Brother Rodney and I was just a few minutes ago making sure we had the doors locked. So, you know, nobody get in or whatever, but that wouldn't work with Jesus. He still could have got in. I pray that you're here today, dear Lord. You welcome anytime here at Love Fellowship. And so Jesus could just walk through walls. And then this is what I really like. Maybe this is me being fleshly. He ate in his resurrected body after, you know, he walked the earth 40 more days. And we see at least about 2, 3, 4 times where he was eating. And probably eating won't be out of necessity. Just be kind of out of fellowship. And we talk about the marriage feast of the Lamb. So those are just some examples of our resurrected body, saints. We're going to have new body. New and somebody say new body. New and improved. Because I'm telling you, man, you can run. Yeah, you need to run. Yeah, you need to work out. You need to take care of your body. All that stuff. Do all that stuff. But sooner or later, you and me, we leave here sooner or later. So you want to make sure you get the body that's headed to heaven. Amen. Last thing, and I'm about to let you go. There are many more. I mean, I had to stop it somewhere. There's really an infinite number of benefits to the empty tomb of benefits of serving a risen Savior. But here's the last one, and I'm going to leave it there. It kind of piggybacks off what I just said. Excuse me. You will have a home in heaven. You will have a home in heaven. You will have a home in heaven. John 14:3, Jesus says, he says, and if I go, and y'all know he did go. He's talking about if I go back to heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you. See, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, a prepared person. Well, how do I get prepared? Well, you admit that you are a sinner. You admit that you need Jesus in your life. You confess your sins. You repent. You turn from your sins and turn to Christ. Receive him by faith. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, a prepared place for a prepared person, a prepared people. He said, I'm going to come again. That's what he said in John 14. I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, I love that part. Where I am, Jesus said, there you may be also. I don't know about you. I don't really care where I am. I don't really care where I am. I don't really care where I end up. Just as long as I'm where Jesus is. Oh, let me say that again. Rewind. Let me play that again. I don't really care where I end up, where I am. Just as long as I'm where Jesus is. You know, he's going to be in heaven. Now, we know that the wrath of God and, the punishment of God is going to be in hell, too. But I ain't going there by God's grace and mercy. But Jesus said, where I'm going, that's where I want y'all to be. And I love what one of the brothers said. Wait a minute. Jesus, we don't know where you're going. We don't have a GPS. We can't map that thing out. We don't know how to get there. Jesus said, okay, I'm glad you asked. And you ought to be glad that he asked, too. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by me. Jesus is very clear. There's no wiggle room to this thing that we call the gospel, the good news. It's not like there are multiple ways to get to heaven. It's not like it's by works or it's by this or it's by that or it's by grandmama. No, no, Jesus, I am the way. T-H-E, the article. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said it this way. Peter picked up on it. Peter was listening that day. He was listening that sometime. He talked a lot. He wasn't listening. He was listening that day, though, because in Acts 4:12, Peter said, here it is. He said, there is salvation in no one else. He said, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name. There is no other name. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. It's Jesus yesterday. It's Jesus today. It'll be Jesus tomorrow. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Look at the brilliance of our Father. Made it so simple yet complex in a way. I mean, simple. Here it is. For God so loved, me and my brother Rodney and brother Jeffrey talked about this some Friday. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. For God did not, somebody said did not, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world, but that the world through him, through Christ, might be saved. It's not God's desire that any should go, any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He wasn't confused about his mission. He said, I came to seek and to save. I came to seek and to save those who are lost. And then he also said, I've come to do the will of my Father. So maybe this evening I'm finishing, maybe this morning I'm finishing up by the hope of the empty tomb. God is real. God is sovereign. That's Genesis and Revelation. That's throughout the Bible. I'm finishing up the hope of the empty tomb, the hope of the reason you and I serve because you're risen Christ, because your sins and my sins are forgiven. They're forgiven. That's throughout the whole Bible. Our sins are forgiven. He's clashed them. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. Also, because the tomb is empty, the hope of the empty tomb, Jesus is at work in your body. Also, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Also because of the tomb being empty, because of Christ being risen, Jesus himself, he says that you're going to have a resurrected body. Also, you got a home in heaven. There are other benefits as I close. Sorrows and sadness is turned into joy. Stress and anxiety, you know, all this corona stuff. Coronavirus, so that's very stressful. It can bring a lot of anxiety, but because the tomb is empty, because Christ is risen, stress and anxiety can be turned into peace. Let me say that again. Stress and anxiety can be turned into peace. Another thing, you are justified. You've been declared righteous, declared not guilty, even though you were and I was. Talking about benefits of the empty tomb. Another thing, you are sanctified. You've been set apart unto God, initially set apart, progressively set apart as you go along in your Christian journey, and eventually, definitively set apart. Also, you're going to be glorified one day. We're going to get a glorified body. All these are benefits of the risen Savior, benefits of the empty tomb. Now let me say, our Christ, our Jesus, all of this from A to Z, nothing new from this pulpit. I've said this before. I put a few new things in here, but as we end this message on this Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is our advocate. That's the A. Jesus is also almighty. Jesus is also Alpha and Omega. Jesus is also the great Amen. He is also the apostle of our profession. He is also the arm of the Lord. Jesus, this is just Jesus from A to Z. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. Here it is. Jesus is not only that. He's the author of eternal salvation. Here's a B. Jesus is the beloved son. He's the begotten son. He's the branch. He's the bread of life. Also, Jesus is the captain, captain of our salvation. He's the chief shepherd. He's Christ, the anointed one. He's Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus also is the consolation of Israel, the Bible says. All these are in the Bible. Jesus also is not only just the cornerstone, he is the chief cornerstone. Not only that, he's our counselor. Oh, he's a wonderful counselor. Not only that, he is creator. In the beginning was the Word, meaning Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made that was made, except it was made through Jesus Christ. So he is creator. Also, the D. He's day spring from on high. I'm just talking about Jesus from A to Z. He's our deliverer. Can he deliver you? He can deliver you. Can he deliver you? Can he deliver you? Can he deliver you? He's our deliverer. Also, he's the desire of the nations. Also, he's the door. You had to go through him to get to God. He is the door. Not only that, he's the everlasting father. He's the eternal father. Not only that, he's faithful and true. Not only that, he's the first and the last. Not only that, he's the glory of the Lord. Not only that, he's God the Son. I say he's God the Son. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's a governor over all things. He's over Governor Lee. He's a governor over all things. He's a great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the heroes. He's the heir of all things. He's a holy child. He's the holy one of God. He's the holy one of Israel. He's the horn of salvation. He's the I am. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door police. I am the light. I am the resurrection. He is the great I am, meaning he is equal with God the Father. He is the image of, here it is, he is the image of the invisible God. Nobody's seen God with their own eyes, but Christ came. He said, how have you seen me? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now we're called to be godly, but I can't be saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No, but Christ, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Also, he's with the I, he's Emmanuel, once again, God with us. Not only that, saint, he's Jehovah. I say he's Jehovah. I'm on my way out now. He's Jehovah. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. He's Jehovah. He's Jehovah Tenisganu, the Lord, our righteousness. He's not only J, he's K. He's King. When I run out of stuff to preach, I can just look in our sanctuary. Our sister Greaves did this. He's King of Kings on these banners, and he's also Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the lily of the valley. I say he's lily of the valley and a bright and morning star. He's the mediator between God and man. He's a man, Christ Jesus. Here's the end. Nobody can do you like Jesus. I said, nobody can do you like Jesus. He's a near and present friend. He's a help in a time of trouble. He's the only wise God. Watch this. He's the on time God. He's a propitiation for our sins. In other words, he's a payment for our sins. Watch this. He's quicker than any trouble that might try to come up on you. Let me say that one again. He's quicker than any trouble that might try to come up on you. Not only that, he's our resting place. place. He's a resting 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 place. He's real and true friend. SSF. Here's a few S's. You ought to be, if you're not standing up, I'm talking about Jesus, you ought to be standing up by now. He's a storm chaser. He's a storm chaser. He can chase Corona all off this planet. He's a storm chaser. He's a true and real friend. He's a trusted friend and savior. He's a, watch this, he's a time manipulator. He's a time manipulator. When you need more time, he gives you more time. When you're running short on time, he can add some to it. When you need to stretch that, he's a time manipulator. Here's a you. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the undefeated champion of the universe. And here's the V. He's victorious. I say he's victorious. The tomb is empty. He's victorious. He's victorious. He's victorious. Our victory is in Jesus. We used to sing that little song, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. We are victorious through Jesus Christ. Watch this, WWW. He's way better than anything else or anyone else you can run into. He's way better than anything else or anyone else. He's a way maker. Bridge over troubled water. Not only that, one more, two more, three more. X. I had to do a little extra stuff with X. He's extraordinary. I left off the E. He's exceptional. He's exclusive. He's exclusive, yet inclusive all at the same time. I can't understand. He's exclusive, yet inclusive all at the same time. Why? Why would you not want to serve him? Why would you not want to serve him? Why would you not want to worship him? He's zealous. He's full of zeal. And to get to God, to get to the Father, once again, I want to make sure I'm clear. You got to go through him. You got to go through Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus good works. Z. I'm on Z. To get to God, it's Jesus plus zero. It's Jesus plus zero. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus joining the church. It's not Jesus plus getting baptized. It's not Jesus plus joining and singing in the choir. It's not Jesus plus ushering. No, it's Jesus plus nothing. If you want to add something to it, it's Jesus plus confessing that you are a sinner. It's Jesus plus repenting of your sin, turning from sin and putting all your total trust in Christ and Christ alone. It's on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's Christ. It's Christ. And I'm through. The hope of the empty tomb. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart, man confesses. But with the mouth, man confesses. With the heart, man believes. So there may be one today. Doing it with the empty sanctuary is kind of a little different.